Welcome to Fright School. Are you ready? Class is in session.
Welcome back to Fright School. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Joshua. What's going on? Where are you? I can't see you. I'm kidding. I can see you perfectly fine.
I know. Yeah, I was going to say, you can see me kind of out the corner here. Yes, I am reaching you from the far reaches of Ohio, you know, which in a way feels like a whole other country, like coming here. But it's all right. It's all right. It's been good times, you know, so far.
Well, that's good. How much longer do you have in your sentence?
You're staring at me because you're like, just a few more days. So I'm glad that we're here today recording. I'm super excited because we're going to be joined today by my youngest brother, my little brother, my baby brother, Mr. Cody Harris is in the room.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this good for you, Cody?
It's a little strange.
I know. I mean, you know, it's... Well, it's your brother, too. I mean, he's as strange as it gets, so, you know, we just can't have a regular family visit. You gotta record and, you know, watch zombie movies, but, I mean, you know, I'm sure you like that, so...
Oh, yeah, he cooks pretty good, too, so...
Yeah, it's been fun. We actually have been having a good time.
Yeah, I do miss his cooking. Because if he's over there, he's not cooking for me. So
we're trying to like take notes on his recipes.
Yeah, there we go. We're gonna get
well. Good
together,
luck. He runs around that kitchen. Yeah, he runs around a kitchen like he knows. You know, he knows exactly where everything is, and it's hard to keep up with him. When I've tried to take notes a couple times, so.
No, it's true. You're one of the few people that have like witnessed us in our own kitchen, like running around and working on stuff. So what have you been watching, Joe, without me? Have you been back to Gilmore Girls or something, you know, since you're like, haha, Josh was in Ohio. I don't have to watch any horror.
I mean, yes, I have been watching the Gilmore Girls. It's season 7, so it's kind of sad. But I did take a pause from my rewatch of the Gilmore Girls to binge watch all of The White Lotus on HBO Max.
I want to watch that. Yeah.
It's a new show. When you do watch it, I should come over and make you some like island food. So that way you can have like the full experience. So let me know when you do watch it, because I would love to do that for you.
Yeah. I watched like the beginning of it because there was like a whole thing about Steve Zahn, like, you know, showing in a full frontal nudity segment, although it's, you know, it's not him for real. And then the rimming scene. So I was like, wait, they got two straight actors to do a rimming scene. Let's go check the, what did they do? Which...
No, they're not straight. They're both
they're
gay.
Not? Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah.
It didn't look like, it didn't seem realistic to me. So I was no, that's not how you do that.
That's like putting your nose in a butt. That's not putting your tongue in an
that's
ass.
That's not the same.
It's, no.
This is this is exactly the conversation Cody showed.
I mean, he listens to the show. He knows what's going on. So Murray Bartlett is an Australian actor who's gay. He's like a gay Hugh Jackman. So I'm sure, you know, fun
so
for
just
you.
Hugh Jackman.
Just Hugh Jackman.
in my fantasies. In my
but his the other guy, the young guy, Lucas Gage, is, spoiler alert, is our twink killer from New Year, New Year's Kiss.
Oh, that's right. Oh, gosh, I'd forgotten. I totally forgot that they were queers.
Midnight Kiss.
Yeah. When I saw the scene, I was just like, yeah, that seems like it just seemed weird. But anyway, so you enjoyed The White Lotus?
I did. I enjoyed White Lotus a lot. I know it's very controversial. because of who Mike White is and the kind of things that he's writing about. I think just as a piece of art, like, it's just hilarious, insane. It's doing that thing that a lot of people are doing right now, which is, you know, commenting on stuff. My hope for a second season, because the second season of White Lotus is going to be a whole, completely different cast.
Oh, so it's like an anthology with just...
I think it's going to be like an anthology, yeah.
So, but the people who work at the hotel or spa or whatever it is, they'll be the same, or they'll all change?
I'm not sure. I really hope they do bring back Belinda, who is played by Natasha... Oh my God, forget her name. I'm going to cut this out. I'm going to cut this out. I think it's Natasha, I want to say Rothschild, yeah, something like that. I'm going to cut this out because I don't want to go on record not knowing her. I love her. But I want them to do more about the staff and more about the Native Hawaiian folks.
Right.
Because they do touch on it a little bit in the later episodes, but it's not something that's entirely... like, they go deep in, and I really want Mike White to, like, hand over the reins a little bit more to some folks on Hawaii, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely want to watch it. I like a lot of the cast, because, like, Jennifer Coolidge is in it. Is Molly Shannon in it?
Molly Shannon's in it, yeah. She has a lovely guest role.
Yeah, yeah, I really like the lineup, so I'm excited about it, so, yeah.
She's so good in it, too. Like, she's so good. Molly Shannon. She comes in there and she's just like this. She's this whirlwind. Alexandra Daddario is in it.
Yeah.
From We Summon the Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also very good as well. Natasha Rothwell. Thank you. I'm sorry. I had to look this up. Natasha Rothwell, not Rothschild. I always think it's Rothschild. Like, she has money. Anyway, Natasha Rothwell, if you're listening to this, I apologize. Love you very much.
She definitely is listening. She's gonna send you a hate.
She's gonna tweet
my name right.
Yeah. but keep my name out your mouth if you can't get it right. That's basically the only thing I've been doing is watching that. Oh, I did watch the new Fast and Furious movie with my parents, which was really fun. It was
the ninth film in this?
The ninth film.
Wow. Cody's a big fan of those.
After the third one, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
They just decline.
So funny you should mention that, Cody, because they do connect so that they bring back some characters from the third one, from Tokyo Drift, into this movie. So it just means that when they go to the 10th one, it's like an Avengers Endgame style, like all these different people coming in. I loved it because it was definitely that trope of we've run out of ideas, so we're going to space.
That's what have we said like a million times on this show with horror? Like, if we can't think of anything else, let's put them in space.
And that's exactly what they did.
And then we'll remake the film.
there was a scene where, like, something's going on Earth and, like, things calm down. And then we cut to the guys that are in, like, in the car in space. And my dad was like, meanwhile, back in space. And I'm like, yep, that's exactly what's happening here. So it was fun. I'm definitely going to watch. I mean, I watch all of these things. It's just fun diversion. It's a summer movie. Right. The summer's winding down. Like, you know, you got to get your fast cars and magnets and Charlize Theron as the best, like, villain with this really unfortunate bob haircut. It's like a bowl and a bob.
Yeah. At the same time.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you the picture and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Is it like Tilda Swinton in Snowpiercer? That hair is so strange.
No, it's like, oh my God, I don't even know who to compare it to. I'll send it to you.
Nice. Yeah. Well, we've just been, I got in on Friday the 13th, so that was perfection. So we watched Friday the 13th, well, most of it. We were talking and, like, you know, catching up, but I had to watch it, the original, before I went to bed. And then, what else have I been doing? I rewatched all of American Horror Story Freak Show for no good reason.
On the plane, or?
No, just here at the house hanging out, you know, while they all like work and, you know, do their actual lives. Because I keep forgetting, like, I'm here to like visit and see people, but it's like I'm also got a break. You know, it's my summer. Like, it's the last, like, yeah, the break I have until, you know, December from class. So I'm like, okay, I do need a couple days of like actually laying around doing nothing, you know, because as soon as I get back to San Diego, I have to like start class the next day. So, you know, it's like, so I just wanted to laze around. I did check out the new Netflix series, Brand New Cherry Flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, it was weird. And I was delighted in it. It was really interesting. I can't wait to rewatch it now that I know what's happening. Seeing, you know, I watched the whole thing. I do want to rewatch it. Brand New Cherry Flavor. So it's got Catherine Keener in it, which, love her.
It's a series?
Yeah, it's 8 episodes. It's based on a book. So it's a mini series. I don't know if they'll get a season 2. They left it open enough so they can have a season 2. But I also feel that it's a satisfying enough ending that if they don't, it's fine.
Okay. You know,
like if they don't want to continue it, it'll be perfectly okay. But Rosa Salazar is in it, playing Lisa Nova, who she was in, what was that movie? Where she had the big Alita, Battle Angel. That's kind of what people know her from. But she was really great in it.
Was she Alita?
Yeah, she played Alita. Yeah.
Okay.
You'll recognize her, you know, if you watch it. But Catherine Keener, obviously, who, you know, famous for lots of things, but we most recently loved her in Get Out, you know. Eric Lang playing Lou Burke. Jeff Ward as Roy Hathaway. So, yeah, it was a, you know, pretty good, weird little show. I mean, I devoured it. I couldn't stop watching it. I watched like 3 or 4 episodes yesterday, and then I finished it up today. It was delightful. So I recommend it. Really weird. You know, the main character, Lisa, she vomits up kittens. So, you know, if I didn't already sell you on it, now you're definitely going to be like, wait, what? I have to see this.
I mean, I saw the description of it, and it did mention, like, it's weird and edgy. And I was like, oh, Josh was going to be all over this. So I'll be hearing it. I'll be hearing that on an episode of Fright School very soon. And the prophecy is fulfilled. So
yes. Exactly. Yeah, Cody doesn't have any pets, so I've been desperately missing my cats. Well, I mean, I guess if you don't count the little childrens he has,
right? I was going to say he has children, so.
Yeah, they're kind of like pets at these ages. You know, one's only 3 months, and then my other nephew is 2.5. Mm-hmm. So he smacked me in the face with a sword. So
good.
I feel like.
I'm going to Venmo him $5.
Yeah, so he was delightful. You know, Cody, have you been watching anything that makes you feel good?
Well, as you found out.
Well, Snowden.
I was going to say, as you found out today, it takes me about 3 or 4 days to finish a 2-hour movie. So I wake up in the morning and I watch like 20 to 30 minutes of a movie or a show while I drink my coffee. And then I get up, get ready, and I'm out the door. So it usually takes me a little while to watch shows. So most of the time when I'm watching TV, it's just background noise. So unless like it's something where you set aside, all right, well, we're going to watch this movie. So, but lately it's been just background noise for me.
Yeah, that's true. We did get to sit down to watch today, you know, the movie we're going to discuss today, 28 weeks later. But like, I was like, oh, I wanted to show him Death Proof because he'd never seen Death Proof. I showed you Death Proof, right? I can't remember.
No, you haven't.
Okay, well, we got to watch it sometime, but it's like we had to watch it in pieces. So we watched like the first half and then we finished it.
I've seen Planet Terror,
yeah,
but I have not seen Death Proof.
Sorry, the speaker's talking to us. Yeah, we'll have to watch Death Proof sometime. I actually think it'd be fun to analyze on the show in the future. But yeah, it'd be fun. So
I liked it.
Yeah, it's good.
It was twisted.
Yeah, yeah. Very twisty. I enjoy it. And Cody's a bit of a gun nut. So, you know, he's all for women with their firearms. Whatever you got to do to protect yourself. But yeah, no, overall, it's been really fun. You know, it would have been this past weekend would have been my mom's 52nd birthday. So it was really nice to be with my brothers. And we had like a family thing on Saturday. And it was really nice to see people and, you know, it's been good times. It's been good times being immersed in their heteronormative lives.
I know you're like a gay gothy Mary Poppins just coming in.
I know, right?
You reach into your, you know, your coffin shaped carpet bag and pull out a skull and, you know,
that's pretty much it.
A skeleton. Yeah. Your just to like show up at the airport with all of your like, you know, coffin shaped luggage and various black clothing.
I didn't bring the coffins this time because they're too small. So because I was coming for 10 days. So, of course, I needed a month's worth of clothing. So I had to bring my big clothes. So.
Cody, have you ever, you've probably listened to it on the show, but I unfortunately left out, well, the first time Joshua and I ever traveled on a plane together, I somehow left out to him that two bags are fly free on Southwest. And he was like, if I had known two bags would fly free at Southwest, I would have brought, we were like, you know, a month's worth of clothes for 4 days. give you options.
I like
towels alone.
I like choices.
I do like choices. No, I don't bring my own towels, but I do insist on more towels. He always makes fun of me because we get to a room and it's like they give you one towel, you know, or two towels. And it's like, I'm going to be here for a few days. Like, I need a towel for my hair, a towel for my shoulders, and a towel for my body. So bring all the towels.
You have a shoulder towel.
I have to, yeah. I like to wrap up. I like to mummify. get nice and dry, but definitely for my hair. That's the one thing. And that's why I always say, you know, I'm just always like, we got a lot of hair up in here. Okay. So we need an extra towel or five.
Becca has a special hair towel. Like it's like a dome. I don't know.
Yeah. Like a turban. I have one of those too, which I will use at home, but I don't travel.
Oh my God. No.
Well, because the one he sent me is pink. And so I can't really like, it doesn't go with anything. So I can't wear that outside of the house. If I had a black one, I would travel with it because it is very nice. It's made of this really nice microfiber that's like super absorbent. It's great.
I'm like two people bigger than you, and I use one towel the entire time.
Well, that's what your hair looks like, though, that we can see right now. Mine's up, but if you had seen it down earlier, you know, it's very beautiful, as my friend commented.
It's luxurious.
It's luxurious.
Oh, I forgot to mention. So we're talking about Friday the 13th. I did my own little fright school, and I made our friend, dear friend Crystal from your book club, watch a scary movie on Friday the 13th. I made her watch Freaky for the first time.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh my gosh. Well, we'll have to have her on to like talk because I had, yeah, that was one of the last things I did before I left for Ohio. We had the Final Girl Support Group meeting and dinner, and it was super fun to talk to her. And like, you know, I gave like a full like fright school crash course and like the history of the slasher film. And I just let them ask lots of questions, and we had a really good conversation. It was super fun. So that's exciting. How did she enjoy Freaky?
She
is that funny, safe? I mean, it's funny. It's not, you know.
It's funny. I mean, like, it would be a different story if we were like forcing her to watch like Midsommar, Hereditary, but like it was freaky. Yeah, yeah. And I said, like, I initially was going to show, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to show you, but it's probably going to be something gay. It's probably going to be something, really fun. And her only things were like, it can't be too bloody. Can't be too many jump scares and can't have needles. I was like, well, Freaky doesn't have any needles, but no. It's got a lot of blood and some jump scares, but not really. Stuff you can see coming. And I told her, I said, and she said, like, I'm going to text you and call you in the middle of the night if I wake up and I have a nightmare. I'm like, there, okay, you go. Cool. That's and awesome. She only had two small ones, so she didn't even text me for that. But it was a lot of fun. I think she was more shocked than anything that, like, Vince Vaughn agreed to do that movie.
Yeah, I mean, with his kind of odd politics, I was surprised, but I think it was really fun. So we'll see. You know, as we've discussed on the show, we're going to have a very intimate experience with Freaky at the Rainbow Film Festival. So let's hope it all works out because I did really enjoy the film and I've got lots to talk about. So real quick in the you know, last few minutes here of the beginning of the thing. So, yes, we brought my little brother here. On Mr. Cody Harris. who he loves a zombie film. And so he chose, you know, he'd thrown out a couple different ideas, and I thought 28 Weeks Later would be, the best one to talk about given the circumstances of the world. But we'll get into that in the next half of the show. But I thought maybe we would just have like a little chat about zombie movies in general, because, you know, Cody, you've said that, like, you know, we, growing up, mom liked horror movies, showed us a lot of horror films, but you were always sort of drawn to zombie movies. That's like your kind of favorite genre. What is it about? What is it about zombie movies that you like, and what are some of your favorites?
I don't really know, like, specifically. I don't know. I've always been that, drawn into zombies. When I was like 12, 13 years old, there was a group of my friends who we would just, out of nowhere, somebody would pretend to turn into a zombie and start chasing the group, and then we would scatter. And it's been a really long thing. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of like a, it's always been like something for me, like, well, it's kind of fun to like prepare for it. Like, you know, like, well, because if you're preparing for that, then you can prepare for like a power outage or something. It's like, oh, well, I don't know.
Yeah, but a little like the survivalist nature of
it. The survival, like, and how, like, people, like, in normal everyday things, like a power outage or a storm or something like that, people just turn on you so fast. So it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like a little dive into possible reality, you know? So, I don't know.
Yeah, my sort of like the thought experiment of what happens if society collapses, especially as like somebody who has a wife and kids and, you know, you have people to protect, mm-hmm. you know, sort of like what, how you might act in that situation.
Yeah. Like the Train to Busan we talked about, like,
right.
Like people just are horrible. Like, I don't know. People just turn on each other so fast. But,
you know, I'm actually going to have to watch Train to Busan because you had mentioned, and I hadn't thought about it in a while, but I know that because there's also a father in that one, right? The main guy is a dad, too.
Yeah, he's got a dog with
him. Yeah.
Yeah. And Cody, I think that's why I also really like zombie movies as well, because it's not necessarily about, it's not about the zombies themselves. It's about, like, what, how our response is, right? Like, you know, what is it from The Walking Dead? The famous line is that we are the dead. Like, we are the ones who are the Walking Dead. It's not the zombies themselves. And so,
right, not the walkers,
not the walkers, not the biters, or whatever they call them. So I really relate to that a lot. And I also relate to kind of like the survival element of it too, because, you know, I'm fully aware that, like, the moment a zombie apocalypse happens, I'm going to be dead. Like, the first rule of Zombieland is cardio, and I'm just going to die. I've made my peace with that. Oh, see?
Oh, I just noticed I got you that shirt. Yeah. So, dear listener, because, you know, obviously, Fright School podcasts are very visual.
Our visual medium.
But no, Cody's wearing a shirt that says, "When in doubt, double tap," that I got for him at Midsummer Scream. So yeah, you know, you gotta believe in those rules of Zombieland. Anyways, Joe, sorry. So yeah.
No, so I always like to think about, like, okay, well, do I have any significance in a zombie apocalypse? And it's interesting that, you know, as Joshua brought up, it's like the fact that you have like a family. It's like, well, there's a very clear reason to, like, do whatever you can to survive, because it's not just to keep your family alive, but it's to keep yourself alive for your family. And which is, you know, again, when you go back to The Walking Dead, that's the whole thing with Rick, right? Like, Rick's right. whole thing is to get back to Laurie and to get to see his family survive, and then, and that's at like the heart of his story. So yeah, it's interesting. And it's interesting too, because, like, I could see someone with a family not liking zombie movies because of exactly that. Like, they don't want to think of the worst. But again, like, you like us, me and Joshua, like, think about horror in a different way, where it's like, oh,
yeah. I was gonna ask if they you know, since you were a kid, kind of like, you know, thinking about these things, do they resonate different now that you have like a wife and have kids and have a family? Do you go back and watch the movies and think of different things now? Do you see them in a different light, or do you still kind of think of them the same way?
my approach is different. Like I used to always say, like I was just telling him a story the other day when I was with my ex years ago, and we were walking down the street holding hands, and some random guy came out of like a back alleyway, and he was just like, "Aah!" Like I don't know if he was on drugs or what, but I let go of her hand and I took off. And I told her, and I've told everybody, like my mom, everyone, I'm like, if you keep up with me, or I'm going to leave you. Like, I'm not going to risk dying because you did something stupid. So, yeah, my approach is a little bit different now. Now I'm like, well, like, if I can save you without putting myself in harm's way, then I'm definitely going to do it. Like, I can't just take off. And now I got to analyze it. I'm like, okay, I can get to you and save you, but if I think I'm going to die saving you, then why should we all die?
So. Yeah.
And Cody, he's got lots of guns and barrels of food. He's prepped. He's ready for the zombie apocalypse should it happen. So besides the film we're going to talk about today and like Train to Busan, are there other zombie movies that you really, you think that Joe should see?
You've already seen Zombieland. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Train to Busan is probably like the one that gets me the most, because it's just like they're trapped with them. And
it's a little Hitchcockian where they're all kind of stuck in one place, on this train.
That one gets me the most, because it's like when I'm out and on the streets and live around my house or anything like that, and it happens, it's like I have a lot of options. But that the Train to Busan is it's kind of scary. It's like, oh, what would I do in this situation? So then Zombieland is probably one of the most watched ones I've ever watched. I've seen it so many times. But, and Dawn of the Dead, that was really good.
The remake,
yeah,
yeah, from the 2004.
Yeah, I'm more of newer movies. I'm not a big fan of old movies. Like I watch them, like the real old zombie movies, where it's just like horrible editing. And
they don't call them zombies.
Well, because I was like, oh, we're gonna watch Friday the 13th. He's like, the new one. I'm like, or the remake. I'm like, no, we're gonna watch the one from 1980. He's like, okay. So we got about. Well, I'm gonna go to bed. I'm like, well, I'm gonna finish it. But, you know.
Cody, welcome to my life, because it's I was doing this show for a year before I got to watch anything from this century.
That's true, actually. Yeah, because the first because we ended with Saw was from 2001 or something, but that's true. The first season was like mostly films from 1930 to 1996, right before. Scream was the last one from the 90s, and then we did Saw, but yeah, that's true.
You guys have done a lot of movies that I had to like look up, like, what is this?
Yeah, your brother has made me watch some crazy stuff. And that whole first season,
172 movies.
172 movies. Yeah, it's so funny, because like I was expecting the first season of Fright School to be like really scarring, and it wasn't. It's the subsequent episodes, because it's like, well, I lived through The Exorcist, I could live through Inside or Dumplings, or I could live through this, I guess I'm still doing it. So
yes, you are, and we need to do one today.
I'm glad we're doing a zombie movie, because I we're kind of overdue. So I really, those are really fun for me to watch too. They're the kind of the horror that's like part action. That's the other thing too, is like it's part action movie, part horror movie as well. So I'm glad we could watch this one again.
Totally. All right. Well, with that, then we will take a really short break, dear listener, and we will be back to discuss 28 Weeks Later. From 2007.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey.
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. and also the male gaze.
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
All right, welcome back. So, yes, today we are talking about 28 Weeks Later from 2007. This is a follow-up episode from, man, our second or third season with, we had Laura on to talk about 28 Days Later. So, it's taken us a few years, but we are finally here to discuss 28 Weeks Later, post-apocalyptic horror film. We've got, Juan Carlos Fresnadillo. Directing, who co-wrote with Rowan Joffe. We got Rose Byrne, Jeremy Renner. We got Idris Elba. We've got Imogen Poots. I love her name. That's delightful.
You gotta love an Imogen Poots.
Yeah, we got all sorts of folks on it. So as a way of introduction, I really like this from The Focus, Plague View, 28 Weeks Later. So the follow-up film to 28 Days Later, it is less fondly remembered than its predecessor, though it does many things just as well. I like this. 28 Weeks Later opens with one of the greatest horror scenes ever, a strength that will prove difficult to live up to for the rest of the film. A small band of survivors are barricaded inside a country home, trying to be as quiet as possible and make the best of a terrible situation by gathering for a meal. A sense of normalcy in a world turned upside down. But this is not fit to last. The arrival of a young boy from a nearby village presents a chaotic antidote to this relative tranquility, for what he was running from will surely catch up to him. And that is sort of the events that kick off the film. So, Joe, as always, we'll start with you. What did you think of watching 28 Weeks Later and, you know, as it compares to 28 Days Later? Maybe just chat a little bit.
I liked it because it takes place in the same world. I think this is definitely one of the cool examples that you can have something exist in the same world but have a completely different story and completely different characters. Not so much an anthology because this is 2007, right? So they're not really thinking about it in that way. They just wanted to continue the franchise. No,
definitely, I feel like a sequel as a follow-up.
Yeah, so I like that a lot. But otherwise, I mean, like, I thought it was also some really cool... I always love in zombie movies when they do a little twist, right? So the twist with 28 Days Later is that the zombies are fast, right? Or the infected, I think is what we called them, right? The infected are really fast. And I think with this is that, like, oh, the twist is, what if there's a cure? What if there's someone who could be potentially the cure? And
immune. You know, what does immunity mean? Yeah,
exactly. What does immunity mean? You know, we're talking about that a lot. I think that this movie holds up a lot to our current time. So I really enjoyed it. I thought this was a really good pick.
Yeah. You'd watch it again?
Oh, absolutely. I watch it. I mean, if they want to make 28 months later, if they want to like wait to do 28 years later, like that would be, I think that would be interesting because it's not that far away.
Right.
To have 28 years later from the original.
That's only 2002. So 2030.
Yeah,
it's in sight, unfortunately, as we talked about on the last episode that we are, 20 years away from Jeepers Creepers.
Stop.
Dealing with our mortality. Absolutely. I think that, it is very prescient, when you're talking about a world that is dealing with a global pandemic and, we thought we had it handled. And especially Americans, it's very interesting to have, even though I know this is set in England, but, NATO forces come in and then like the American, army has come in to like ensure that everything's going to be fine. It's like, we've set up a safe zone and then it quickly collapses, I think is a bit prescient. But to top over to Cody. So, this was a film that you had chosen. What is about this movie that you like?
I like the way it's filmed a lot. Mm-hmm. The music in it.
Yeah, the soundtrack is great.
Perfect. It almost seems kind of like what might actually happen in something like that. Like they block off a certain area, and then they've got the military everywhere blocking it. And then, but I feel like they would have probably, like, once they had everybody contained, they would have probably nuked everything else. But just the way it's filmed is really good. And then you mentioned having like the same universe, but like different feel to it. Like the vibe from 28 days later to 28 weeks later, it's almost like 28 days later is like has more of a deeper meaning. And then like 28 weeks later is more like a movie for someone like me where I just want to see action. And it's like that when the action hits in 28 weeks later, it's like very intense. And I like in the beginning when the zombies first attack, it's like just
right, it happens fast. Yeah,
and then they're all just scattering. They don't know what to do. They're not prepared for it. And then the same exact thing when he gets infected from Alice, it's like it's just really, really fast. And everybody panics.
Dawn. Dawn, which we realized we paused it, and his name is Donald Harris, which we thought was kind of cool. That's my brother's.
That before.
Since that's his actual last name. We have different last names because we have different dads, as it goes. Let's not get into family therapy here.
I'm not qualified.
Dawn getting infected from Alice, his wife, who he had thought had died at the beginning. But we find out that she's like immune, at least she's a carrier.
She's an asymptomatic carrier.
Yes, asymptomatic carrier that's become a word we've all, a noun we've become familiar with.
You see, Joshua, she has the virus, but she's not showing any symptoms of the virus, right. But she still could mess someone up.
Yeah, but no, that's very true. It's kind of like 28 days later and 28 weeks later, they have the aliens thing going on, you know, where Alien is this very
atmospheric.
Yeah, very atmospheric, but also insular. You know, it's just happening on this ship to these few people. And then Aliens takes it into this much bigger world, you know, and brings in the military. And it's, you know, an action film, whereas Alien is this sort of like treatise on, you know, well, one, not listening to the woman, you know, so it's like, you know, nobody
breaking quarantine and what happens when you break quarantine for a pulse.
Right. Yeah. And so in the end, it's just her and her cat, as it should be. but Aliens, you know, is more of like this action film and kind of brings in this military element, and it's all about blowing stuff up, and the aliens are kind of out of control. And, you know, so I think that, yeah, that's actually a very good point, that it's more of an action film. There is action in 28 Days Later, but it is far more this, you're kind of following this one guy's experience, you know, sort of as he meets people.
Well, yeah, because there's that whole, I mean, when Cillian Murphy wakes up, you know, he, like, everything is gone. Like, he doesn't, it's not until, you know.
Yeah, he has no idea what's happened.
Yeah, you're a quarter of the way through the movie before you realize that, like, you know, there's stuff that's happening.
Yeah, very much like The Walking Dead, which I actually think The Walking Dead comic predates 28 Days Later, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think by maybe a year or so, but regardless, yeah, but that's a good point. Like Walking Dead with Rick waking up in the hospital and not really knowing that this event has happened.
Do we think that Catherine McCormick's character Alice, do we think that that's a reference to Resident Evil at all?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if that's meant to be a reference or not.
Okay. Because I mean, I get it because like Alice go down the rabbit hole, you know, to Wonderland, all of that stuff. But I feel like it's just because at this time, 2007, we do have, I think Resident Evil has come out by this time with Mila Jovovich.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely the video games have been out. So it just seems interesting.
Yeah, I think I was a freshman or a sophomore when the first film came out. So, yeah, definitely we had that in pop culture.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, I wonder if that was a thing. But I mean, again, like you can't. Like with maybe referencing The Walking Dead in 28 Days Later, you can't not, you know, they all kind of fall in. This is kind of how you one lends credibility to the other. This is how you, you know, that's just for the zombie fans.
Right. the conversation happening. Yeah. So we kind of were watching it and talking about some of like the realities of like, which I think we've talked about before on the show with like, you know, like in this film at the beginning, it's like, they're like, okay, we waited for the infected to sort of starve or like decay. And now we're setting up these safe spots. But you know, it always brings up the same questions we were talking about, like, you know, all these zombie bodies are like rotting, like where are all the bugs, you know, where are all of the, you know, like how long would a zombie apocalypse really last? But again, Cody brought up a good point, 'cause you were saying they're not really like dead zombies. Yeah, they're just infected.
So also like that brings the point, like if they're not zombies, they're just infected with this rage virus, wouldn't they have died of dehydration after just like a couple weeks?
Right. Yeah. Like how long would it take for them in a real world situation to actually die off?
Yeah.
Probably quickly. Be pretty fast.
Yeah. Pretty quickly. I mean, unless something in the rage virus is like, you know, keeping them constantly hydrated.
That or telling something that tells them to drink water and eat out of the garbage if need be.
Yeah, something to keep them alive.
There's no one around here. I'm going to eat this apple.
But I always kind of thought when I watched zombie movies, like I always kind of think about that. Like that's the issue with like The Walking Dead is because they're clearly dead. You know, they walk around, they're like partial, like skeletonized, or, you know, they definitely seem to be dead bodies who have reanimated by some virus or some other. I stopped watching The Walking Dead a long time ago. So I'm not sure if they've yet answered the question of the, you know, because in the very first season, they get to the CDC and there's like, you know, a thing whispered, but we never know exactly what it is. So, but still, like, if you have all these bodies walking around, like insects alone would take them, you know, they would eat them. So it's like, if we just kind of hung out, you know, hunker down with a few bottles of wine and some food, you know what I mean? You could probably wait for the zombies to all die, which is kind of what this starts with, is that is the idea. However, because this woman has some sort of...
She's got magic spit. Like she's...
Oh, right. Oh, well, I wrote that down, but I mean, but regardless, she's, you know, some sort of immunity or she's carrying the virus. But yeah, I wrote this, that this is the problem, you know, is straight people. You know, if you come in to give her a kiss, you know,
don't put me in there. I would not have kissed her.
I just, you know, they didn't know. I mean, I would have told him. One, he had way too. She should have been under major lockdown. He should not have had access. That made no sense to me. Like,
yeah,
sure,
it's like this dude just wanders in there.
Not a single person in sight. Yeah.
I would have had her under lock and fucking key, four or five of them, you know, because, you know, like she's, something's going on with her. She shouldn't be just open to, you know, but then we wouldn't have a film.
I mean, is it more about like him wanting to kiss her, or is it more about like this is why guilt is bad? Like, you should just be a complete, like, you know, you should just be, have no guilt whatsoever, because he's asking her for forgiveness, right? Like, for leaving, basically choosing himself and doing what Cody did, and like, you know, leaving him
out. One of my rules, like with Zombieland, like they have their rules. One of my main rules is just you gotta be ruthless to survive. Like you can't have feelings in that situation.
No, it's true. I've said that before. I think that like zombie movies, like if I'm in a zombie movie, I'm kind of fascistic. Like, you know, I've always said, we've talked about this before, so sorry, dear listener, but you know, if I was in The Walking Dead, I would have shot Merle right away. Like, there's no space for you. Like, if you want to come here and be like, oh, I hate black people and women, you got to die. Like, we don't need that in the new world, you know? And so in the kind of the same way I think there is a ruthlessness to it. Like, people have to make choices and, you know, regardless of, you know, I mean, not to sound heartless, but it's like, you know, you may love each other intently, but they were separate. I mean, it was not his fault. What was he going to do? You know, run into the zombies and be eaten alive? Like,
yeah,
you know, and we have that conversation, like Jeffrey and I have talked about that, you know, Sam Squanch, because he's like, you know, would you shoot me if I, you know, in a zombie apocalypse? I'm like, if you're a zombie, yes, dear. Do you really want to eat me? And I don't want to eat you. Shoot me. It's fine. I forgive that. You know, it's perfectly fine. Go on and survive. Although, I mean, he couldn't survive without me anyway, so it's fine. I don't know how he's doing. You know, it's really funny. He keeps texting me because it's been a really long time since we've traveled apart. So because I'm traveling on, you know, by myself, he's having to watch the cats. And so he's learning all these things about them that he didn't know. So he keeps texting.
Like their names?
Right, their names. But he texts me. He's like, you know, they seem to, because we have two litter boxes. He's like, they seem to use one litter box for the one thing and the other litter box for the other thing. I'm like, uh-huh. This was news to him. I'm like, yeah. So I don't know how he's living. I don't know what he's eating. I assume he's like, you know, just picking up, you know, taco truck burritos every night. And
I was going to send him a casserole. I was going to check in on him and be like, do you need someone to bring you like green vegetables? And
yeah, I made a stew here and I sent him a picture of it, you know, so he could like look at it and pretend that's what he had for dinner.
Would you like me to come over there and like, you know, issue a veiled threat that I'm going to kill you for the insurance money? Cause I'm sure you.
Yes. Give me all the money. All right. That's enough of that. I don't need this on recorded because that may cause problems at the trial. So a question that we did have that I'm curious about. So in one way, this film is kind of like, even though it's a zombie movie, there's moments of it that are kind of like The Shining, you know, where the father, once he gets infected, he doesn't behave the way that the other zombies do. You know, he seems more intelligent and he like is hunting for his children. You know, he like shows up. He's like, you know, more intelligent. I'm curious what our thoughts are on that.
Like standing off in the corner watching them, whereas most of the infected would just charge. It's like, I wish they would have like kind of poked at that a little bit more, but like I looked it up and some people were saying that they think it's because it's a watered down version of the virus because he got it through like a kiss and not
through saliva. Yeah.
That could have had something to do with it, but that still doesn't fully like make sense. I wish I'd have kind of poked at that a little bit more. Like
I really like that explanation though, Cody, because like if the more virus you have, the more of your humanity, quote unquote, leaves you. Whereas like he gets it by a kiss, so he can still reason and think, but that makes him more dangerous.
Right.
Y'all, what we have here is like what Don represents is like he's the Delta variant of like this virus, right? No, because totally. Yeah. He goes into that waiting room and then like, you know, he's like it spreads really fast, right? And then all of a sudden you have like this huge outbreak like the Delta variant, like, you know, he's evolving like the Delta variant. Like this is basically what, you know, they were writing the story of the coronavirus way before anything happened.
Well, again, I mean, zombie films do sort of speak to that. You know, they do sort of speak to our like fears of mass, like the plague, of the Spanish flu, you know, things like that. But along with, you know, as we've talked about before, I think with the when like Republican, what is it? When Republicans are in charge, zombies are more popular.
So when Republicans are in power. When Republicans are in power, zombies are popular. And when Democrats are in power politically, vampires are more popular. And it's because you know, Republicans, conservative folks, quote unquote, like, you know, the horde mentality, they're coming for you, coming for your property, coming like they, it can be, that can also be translated to some things they've said about like immigrants and,
right.
And so on and so forth. And then the reverse is true. Cause like with, or the reverse, which is like vampires are more popular. It's because, you know, they're like what, typically wealthy, preying on those less fortunate, preying on those who, you know, have nothing. They're not preying on the strong and powerful. They're playing on the weak. And so you have like, they're both metaphors for the other.
Is this like an actual statistic that right. These are actually like more popular?
Well, Bush was president when this film came out and when 28 Days Later came out, right? 2003.
Yeah. And then when, and the, Walking Dead came out during the Obama administration. And so that's the other thing, too. As you see, like, a rise in one thing, the other politics go kind of follows as well, too. So, and I think, like, I
want to say... It's not a 100% correlation, but there
Yeah,
you can track it through
history. Yeah, because I think what Obama got elected, Twilight was really popular. And so you have, like, and again, like, again, everything is cyclical. There are no new ideas. There are no new ideas, but it's something to be said about like the just like the this is the things that we talk about, right, Joshua, is like the social stuff. And so it's always cool to find out, like, when a particular zombie or vampire movie is really popular. Like, what, True Blood was popular all through the Obama administration.
Yeah.
Right. And that was like the it television that you have to, it was the Game of Thrones of the time.
Yeah, I think to some extent. And it was dealing with the, like, I mean, True Blood is a whole metaphor for, like, gay rights, women's rights, the rights of, you know, black, brown, you know, indigenous, other people of color, you know, I mean, it's a whole conversation about, the other. And they're the normalization of their experience. So, I just really thought it was interesting how the father, his character was sort of, well, like you said, with this, like, watered down version of the virus, like, he was so intent on, like, hunting down his kids. And I'm wondering if it was like,
he had some pent up anger.
Right. Like, why? What is the, what's the reflection there? Because, like I said, I wrote about The Shining. I kind of thinking about, you know, Jack Torrance's anger with his family. So it's like, that's like, is it guilt playing out for letting the mother go? Is it, you know, guilt for, I don't, for whatever reason, he and the children, you know, the mother and Dawn and Alice were separated from their children. You know, I don't know.
Is it just that he wants to, he just wants to be with them at all costs. And so that in now means that he has to turn them also, or he just can't control the impulse. That's an interesting thing to think about. Next time I rewatch it.
I enjoy watching this movie. I like the, again, like Aliens, this bigger, you know, sort of story being told. I also think it's very interesting when we think about 2007, you know, so we're, 6 years? No, the Iraq War started in 2003.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, in three.
So 4 years into the Iraq War, you know, so you're watching a film that's about sort of like this chaos that's happened in Europe. You know, in England, and you have this massive American, military presence who are like, no, we've got this under control. Everything's going to be fine. And it quickly spirals out of control. And then by the end of it, not only is it out of control, but it spreads. It spreads to France and, you know, possibly beyond, because the little boy who's carrying the rage virus, although he's not, again, experiencing this, you know, symptoms of it, but he's able to spread it. So I don't know. I just think it's a very interesting thought experiment on the legitimacy of American interventionism in the catastrophes of other countries.
And in this essay, I will, is what that sounds like. In this essay,
I will. As I hope one of my future students will speak on, will write upon.
I think this movie just shows that quarantines work. and, you know, if,
I don't know about that.
I mean, it was starting to get calm, and then, you know, things happen.
Yeah.
You know, if Alice was wearing a mask, not to get all political on you, but if Alice was wearing a mask, she just had a mask on.
He wouldn't have been able to kiss her, and then it had all been fine. Yeah.
Also, can we talk about, like, just we're skipping a lot, but, like, the end of the film where they're, like, you know, limping limping. I think it's Jeremy Renner, right? He's the one who's hurt. Jeremy Renner's hurt, and he's just, you know, Hawkeye's all hurt and limping, and it's like, I would have just, like, left him. I mean, I know at that point you have a bond, and, you know, it's that kind of don't leave anybody behind, but I think, I mean, I don't know, Cody, are you with me? I would have just left him. He could also do his part, right? And stave off the infected in that way by, like, be offering himself up, but, you know, whatever. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. The other dude is like, no, we're going to get you over. We'll get you across the river. What is it? They're working hard to get across the channel, the English channel, to France. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what are we doing? We should be listening to little Rose Byrne, you know, like this kid is probably infected. It's going to, you know, if he touches anyone, they're going to get it. Which then that is what happens over the credits scene is the, you know, emergency, like, well, we're fucked. 28 days after he lands in France, all of Europe is on fire with the rage virus. Fucking kids.
Yeah, I was about to say. The biggest thing, like before having kids, I was like, I don't want kids with us in the zombie apocalypse. They always mess everything up. Like, there's a scene in The Walking Dead where they're walking through the crowd with, like, the guts and stuff on them, and the kid starts to freak out and panic, and then they're all, like, they all, like, merge on them. So I'm like, damn, kids. It's like, I got to start prepping my kids now.
Which he has. They're fine. I mean, the two-year-old, he loaded a clip, fired it, you know? Whatever. Magazine clip. What is it? AR-15? AR-15s.
I was going to say, are you going to say Kalashnikov? Because that's, like, not...
I don't know shit about guns, but Cody knows plenty. So if the zombie apocalypse happens, Joe, we're going to hop in the car and, you know...
We're going to drive to fucking Ohio? Okay. Yeah.
Where he will shoot all the zombies and it will all be fine.
I mean, if it's going to happen, it should happen now while you're there, right? So that way you don't have to cross. I mean, you know, fuck my drag. Leave me behind.
Fuck your drags.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just get them, you know, when they start getting a little older. I mean, yeah, you can get them an Airsoft gun, but, you know, we'll start off. We'll do, like, a Nerf gun. And we'll get you the ones that...
He already threatened me with one of them.
Teach you to double tap on a Nerf gun. Yeah.
Like I said, he smacked me in the forehead with one.
With a sword.
His little sword.
Well, I mean, you look like the undead, Joshua. Like, it makes sense that... He was like, no!
It's working.
Yeah. It's all right. Oh, Lord. All right. 28 weeks later... Delightful film. I do hope we get 28 months later one day. There is a lot of dispute, the people, you know, between the rights holders, writers, directors, all kind of nonsense. You know, as usual, it's like, we don't care about that, motherfuckers. Just make the damn film, you know? Like, we didn't ask for your drama.
Just give Jason Blum the rights already.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah, that's what we were talking about last night, because he's like, well, what's keeping anybody from making it? It's like, oh, rights. So, you know, hopefully they will, because I do like the idea of exploring other, just like with The Walking Dead. It's like, I enjoy, you know, that we're talking about an American apocalypse. I think that's fascinating. And then when they did Fear the Walking Dead, kind of showing the beginnings of the apocalypse. But I'm curious about how other countries handled it. What, you know, what else is going on? What's, you know, I want to explore other parts of the world. So, you know, in these films, it does seem in the first and the second one that this has been exclusive to Britain, you know, that whatever is going on is a British problem. So much of the, you know, American government has decided to intervene and, you know, help NATO or whatever, you know, control this thing. So what's it look like, you know, if it explodes out? I want to see 28 months later.
So you bring that up. I want to see, like, what, like, has there ever been a movie where there's a zombie apocalypse in, like, a third world country? Like,
I'm sure there are
chaos of that. Yeah. I'm sure there are films, you know, about, I mean, District 9 is set in Africa, right? Apartheid, it's like apartheid.
Yeah, but it's not zombies, that's aliens.
Right, but it is examining like what that looks like, you know, so you're right. It's not exactly the same, but I'm sure there are other zombie films that, you know, foreign film, you know, are exploring. So I don't know, we'll have to look that up, find them, you know?
Cody, have you heard of the film The Cured? From like 2017.
Oh, yeah.
Joshua, you've heard of The Cured, right?
Oh, yeah. I watched that. I enjoyed that because it deals with, so it's like about what happens if, you know, you have a zombie apocalypse and we're able to cure them, but they like ate your neighbor or they ate your kid. Like, how do you deal with them reintegrating into society? Yeah. Oh, it was fascinating. That sounds cool.
You don't ever see that.
Yeah. Cause, Elliot Page is in it. I think, right?
Yes. Because I think it's Elliot Page's, they play the character Abby, and Abby's brother is cured and comes back, but they're dealing with like the stress. Cause I think they also, remember everything, right? So it's like,
yeah, part of it, yeah, is that they remember doing it. Yeah. So how do you reintegrate into society if you've been cured? So yeah, we'll have to do that movie sometime.
If you ate your grandma.
Yeah. How do you deal with the guilt of that? Or how do you reconcile?
You know? Or like you ate your wife. Can you imagine like being cured and not remembering that you like ate your whole family?
No, that's PTSD right there.
Yeah. Okay, so now here's your homework. Joshua, now you have to find it. Y'all can watch it together. Record it, and we will put it on the next episode.
Delightful. Oh, this was super fun. I'm glad we got to do this. I'm glad I got to watch with you, Cody, you know, do something that's, as we've discussed a lot on the show, you know, one of our few family traditions is horror. So it was nice to be here, you know, during the, you know, the week that would have been our mom's birthday, you know, it was kind of cool to celebrate with some horror. Does that make you feel good?
Yeah, I think it was cool getting everybody together, especially on our birthday. That's cool how it worked out.
Yeah.
And then what was the movie we were supposed to watch when I fell asleep when I was in California? What movie were we going to discuss?
We were going to discuss It.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you fell asleep.
That was long.
Yeah, that's one of the lost episodes of Fright School as we had planned because we went to see it
in the theater.
But the problem is like, you know, it's one thing to come from California to Ohio because you're like kind of 3 hours behind. So I've been like awake till like 12, 1 o'clock every night. But, you know, to come here, it's like to come to California. There was a few nights where it's like 7, 8 o'clock. You guys are dead asleep because it feels hard. Like it's, you know, 10, 11 o'clock.
I also don't remember like anybody that was at the movie with us.
Yeah, no, that's true. And we had a house full of people and you just slept through it. You're like, I'm going to bed. Cause I banged on your door, tried to wake you up and you're like, nope, not doing it.
It's the edible you gave me.
You know what? If you can't handle your drugs, then whatever. What is it, that transviolet, like, out of all the drugs in California, you're the one that fucks me up the most? There you go. That's what it is.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the two of you because there is a family resemblance. Very, like, it's in your eyes.
It's more between us. If you saw my other brother, Jason, you'd see it more between us.
You guys take after mom.
Yeah. We definitely, both of us take after more after our mother. Cody takes more after his sperm donor.
But like from the nose up, it looks right. You guys like you have like the same kind of cheekbones and
yeah.
This is thrilling for our.
He also has really dark eyes. Mine are like green.
Yeah, no, it's.
Oh true. Yeah, well, you know that's because he's the son of Satan. So you know his black soulless eyes.
His original name should have stuck.
Yeah, Damien.
Yeah. It was mom was talked out of it. Is what it is. All right. Well, this was a freaking delightful little trip down memory lane. Cody, thank you for being on.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad that you could spare the time. He knocked out his children so that they could. No, that's not true. They're with their mom.
Don't put that out there.
Right. I know somebody on Facebook because I said when I got on the plane, my first plane ride, I walked up and of course there's like a screaming infant in my row. Like I'm in seat A, she's in seat C, this woman with her kid. And my friend was like, just give it some whiskey. It'll fall right asleep. I'm like, don't tempt me. It was perfect. It was actually really nice. The kid was perfectly well behaved. It screamed, you know, at the beginning, but then once the plane took off, it was fine. And she was really sweet. We chatted a lot throughout the plane ride. She was super cool. So, hey, there you go. Sometimes kids are all right. Sometimes. Joe, as always, I adore you. Thank you for, you know, putting up with this nonsense.
This is great. Now you're going to have to, what this does is that now you're going to make me bring one of my siblings on.
Oh, I would love that. Oh my gosh. Yes. Let's get your sister, Adele.
Adela. Yeah. Oh my God. She doesn't like horror. So it'll be like even more fright school, but we'll have to. All right. Okay. Well, I'll have to pose that to her.
All right. And dear listener, as always, please, if you enjoy what you hear, like us, rate us, make sure you're subscribed, share us with your friends, especially the ones who don't like horror. We delight in terrorizing people and bringing them to the dark side. Cody, again, thank you for being here, for existing, and for, you know, your spirit of forgiveness.
Good night,
Joe. Yes, Joe, sleep well. Good night. Dream of zombies.
Those are our best dreams.
Fright School is produced by Joshua Napier and Joe Farron.
Our intro was edited by Davey Boy Productions.
Our logo was designed by Jamie Channel Guzman.
Episodes are edited and engineered by Joe Farron.
Fright School is produced in terrifyingly beautiful San Diego, California.
Ha 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 ha!